get loose in Jesus.
You deal with trouble, you deal with so much all the time out, and wherever you are, when you come to church, you gotta let go and come on, when you come to church, you gotta let go and amen. One songwriter said it may be the last time. I said it may be the last time.
We all get together.
Amen. So while we have this opportunity, amen, we need to thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. We honor the Lord and truly that Maggie is where we want to be. Amen. Revelation said no more tears. No more sorrow. Every day will be Sunday. Yeah. The Sabbath will have no end.
Right.
And she's now walking around heaven.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I gotta get there. You gotta get there. So we gotta be faithful to the Lord. Amen. We just thank God this evening once again. The homegoing service is gonna be next Saturday. Amen. More so than anything, we got to keep praying for my wife, you know, because of certain circumstances, there's been some challenges. Amen. But I told her, I said, I think you're more the pastor than me, because some of those situations, I couldn't deal with them. Amen. Even as she was dealing with them, I had to leave the room. I said, I felt like a big crybaby. I couldn't deal with this. Seriously. I'm not going to lie. I'm tough. Amen. But there was some tough stuff I couldn't deal with. So. She said, I'm saying, are your allergies acting up? I said, yeah, that's it. My allergies. That was good. I had an excuse, but it wasn't the real problem, you know? It wasn't the allergies. Amen. It was just, so not Maggie's passing. You understand what I'm saying? But some of the circumstances and events that did with it. So she was speaking to one of the relatives, and he was crying. She said, can you come and pray for him? I said, I'm going to pray for him. I'm crying too. To cry, amen. Jesus cried. The scripture said, Jesus wept. Amen. So she was there, pray. How am I going to pray for him? I need somebody to pray for me. This is honest truth. You know, she didn't know it, but I said, but half an hour later, she said, are you going to pray? I said, pray. I still need some prayer. All day long, I struggled. Amen. Because when it's heartfelt, you know, and I say this to say that. You family members, put some of those differences aside. Amen. You gotta let some stuff go. We're saved. Amen. When you say we're supposed to be the light of the world and we can even win our families. Amen. Let some stuff go. Because then when they're all at the end and you're not around, everybody's crying and wishing that they had bridged some gaps. So, you know, my mom told us when we moved to New York, you know, we moved to New York, me and my brother, she said, I'll tell y'all something. She said, I don't care what happens while y'all in New York. She said, you boys better stick together. She said, y'all a family. And she said, when the rug meets the road, blood is always thicker than water. So she said, y'all stick together. We weren't as obedient, but you can be sure now, we have made enough for some lost time. And I said that to say, you know, family members, somebody got to be strong. The Bible said that the strong do what? Bear the infirmity. Somebody be strong. Bridge those gaps. You do your part. You can't make anybody else do anything, but you do your part. Amen. And when a man raves, please. Come on, when your ways begin to please the Lord, then God will make even your enemies. Well, if he's going to make your enemies be at peace, how much more will he make your family members? You know, there's nothing, listen to me, there is nothing that someone in your family can do to make you turn your back on your own flesh and blood. Let all that stuff go. You know, I was speaking to someone yesterday and they were speaking about a situation. I said, you know what? I'm too big to let little things stop me from doing what's right before God. I'm too big to let little things stop me from doing what's right before God. How can you be saved? Have the joy of the Lord as your strength. Be the light of the world, and then let little things. things calls you not to speak to one another. And then I'm saved, I'm Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, you ain't running for your life. If you're going to run for your life, you got to do it God's way. But that's not what we're here for. Amen. But I say that to say, family members stick together.
Amen.
You know, I made some mistakes through the years. But I can guarantee you one thing, all those mistakes I made, I'm making up for them now. Amen. Because my family, your family, is the most important thing that you can ever have. Parents say, you know, my kids act up. Let them act up. They're still your kids. And you know, we're going to get to the word, but well, I think one thing, we've been having some trouble with my kids. And y'all know who all my children are, so you all know who it is. We've been having some problems with my kids, but I would never tell my mother, our father, that we were having problems. And one time we were kind of stressed out. So we get a phone call. And my mom and you know, and I never lost this thought, and I tell anybody else the same thing. My mom said, I don't know what's going on with your kids. She said, well, don't you turn your backs on your kids? I was like, who told her? Mm-hmm. How does she know what's going on? Because we didn't tell her. Amen. Nobody called. She said, don't you turn your back on your kids. She said, remember this. Whenever you discipline to do for your kids, you do it out of love. She said, now when you turn your back on them and they wind up in the institution or system, they do it because it's their job. So she said, don't you ever turn your back on your children. I had some heartaches and pains because of that. That time the authorities wanted me to, you know, they said, let the bottom fall out. It's easy for you to say, because it ain't your child. You know, all these people tell you what to do till they get in that position. I said, you know what? I'm not going to let the bottom fall out. Amen. I'm going to do what I can for my children because my mom didn't raise me that way. I had some heartaches and pains, and those that know my past know why, but I never turned my back. My wife and I, we never turned our back on our children. Though they were tough, right, Tommy? Amen. Yes. Amen. God is good. What I'm saying is, you know, parents, family members, bridge gaps. Bridge those gaps. Don't let the gaps get wider. You do your part. You can't make the other one respond right. But in the eyes of God, who do we please? Who do we live for? God. Who do we represent? God. Our actions are all intended to glorify and magnify God. Now the next time you feel cross, your reaction is going to either signify that you glorify God and you believe God, or that you're not going to glorify God. Amen. That's why the Bible said, let not your good be what? We get around all of our family. I'm trying to get past this. Amen. We try to get around all our family members and act worse in the world. And got the Spirit of God in us. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And the Bible said, against such, there is. You can't do too much in God's eyes. Get it right in God's eyes. Amen. Now let's get to the Word of God. Somebody says, it's about time. Amen. But let's get to God's Word. But, you know, seriously, we gotta let some little stuff go. You know what I'm saying? How are you majoring in minors? Amen. Majoring in insignificant things. People died and going to hell, and you can't get past little stuff in your own family. I'm going to tell you the truth. You don't have to like it. You can stone me. One thing for sure, if you stone me from where it's coming, I got enough time to duck. But what I'm saying is this. We need to start bridging some gaps on the serious side of life. Amen. You know, you all know some of our past. And some situation that arise, I'll be there every time. You know why? Because when I go to bed at night, I want to answer with a clear conscience to God. We live in a world where everybody's too self-fulfilling and self-seeking and always trying to please self. And that's what we want to deal with tonight. Not that I was intending to say all of that. Amen. I wasn't intending to say all that, but it's really important. Because we're going to deal with an application, with actually something in the Bible that we're going to deal with the application of. It's a principle. We're going to deal with the principle of it in the Word. Then we're going to find an application of that same principle. Because what we're going to deal with tonight is how you can be blinded through self-will. We can be blinded because of self-will. Well, what is self-will? I please in me and not God. Self-will is all about me. And we forget to see God. Amen. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen. If we don't do it, it won't be because we're not taught. If we don't do it, it's because we're being self-will. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. We went over this actually recently, but I'm not going to go through all of the explanations of it, but we're going to start off with verse 3. All right. We're not going to deal with the actual application, but we're going to deal with the principle that this is trying to bring about. So we're going to start with verse 3, and then we'll conclude by reading verse. We'll read verse 10 together. Verses 3 through 10, and actually a lot more than applies. But when we're self-will, amen, it will blind us. Amen. And like I said, we're going to deal first with the principle, and then we're going to have the actual application a little later. Amen. So let's start verse 10, 3 read. According as his divine power hath given unto us
all things.
Listen. God's power is given unto what? All things that pertain to what? Amen. You don't have an excuse. Neither do I. His divine power has given unto us all things. If he's given us all things, what did he leave out? Amen. If he's given us what? All things that pertain unto. As long as you're living and you're godly, he's giving you what you need. He's given us what? All things through the knowledge of him. And that has called us unto what?
Glory.
Wherefore we glorify and virtue God. Whereby given unto us exceeding great and
precious
promises. Amen. God doesn't give us no cheap promises. God doesn't give us insignificant promises. But they exceed, they're great, and they are precious promises, that by these ye united partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You got to say you have faith. That adds some spiritual, moral excellence. Amen. Add to your faith moral excellence. And to the moral excellence, knowledge. Then you just say you have a knowledge of God, but you need a greater knowledge of his will. Amen? Amen. Keep going. And to knowledge some self-control. Amen. You got to be in control. And to self-control some endurance, perseverance. And to endurance and perseverance is all in there. He covers it all. And to godliness,
brotherly kindness,
God's love, and to brotherly kindness,
charity.
That's the fulfillment of it all. For if these things be in you, and if they're in you, they can't just be there and be dormant. They got to be growing. They have to be what? Abounding. And this word really means super abounding. So I said, I'm saying, well, what's abounding? What's sure. What do the people read you? What do they see? Those very fruits that we just read have to do what? Abound. They make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh, if you don't have those things, he is what?
Blind.
And cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You all may be seated. Amen. I was going to pray to y'all, so I said, are you going to make us stand up all night long? I'm going to stand up the whole night? Amen. This is the scripture. But let's go back to verse 9. Even though we read the rest for the sake of time, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to deal with how our own self-will will blind us. When we are self-seeking, when we're seeking to please ourselves, it will blind us how? Spiritually. Amen. You will think you're doing God's will and what God wants you to do. John said it, he must increase. In all our lives, God must increase. And we must
decrease.
Until we learn that, we'll never have the fulfillment of God. That's why we must grow in the knowledge. Knowledge, and Hosea said, God's people are destroyed for a what? Come on, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge does you no good if it's dormant. Amen. When we were in school, we learned about different types of things. There's an active type of action, and there's a dormant type of action. That dormant type of action gets nothing done because you know to do good, but you don't do it. But the scripture says, "But to him that see, it is that you have to guess. Every last one of us, when we got saved, God deposited a seed in us, and that seed was his way of leading and guiding us. Because the Bible says, when we receive the Holy Ghost, it will lead and guide us into what? All truth. So when God deposited his spirit in us, now he intends for his spirit to lead and guide us. So he put a seed in us. So we don't guess what to do. Because when we do the wrong thing, the Bible says in our conscience and our very thoughts are the means of either accusing us or so the spirit in you is leading you so you know what to do. So to him that knoweth to do good and to him that the Bible says that's sin. Amen. So when we know to do the right thing and we choose by our own will to do the wrong thing, that's sin. Amen? All right, don't get quiet on me. We've been laughing and having a good time. Don't leave me by myself. Amen? But it's time. You know, a lot of people have a good talking salvation, but they don't want nothing. Amen. It's time to live what we talk. It's time to walk it. Amen. It's time to be real for God. So he said, but he that lacketh these things is what?
Blind.
Now blind could mean spiritually blind or it mean to develop a hardness of heart. Amen. Remember the Bible says about Pharaoh, God already knew what Pharaoh was going to do ahead of time. So every time he sent Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, God already knew. But he said, I'm going to allow these situations to happen so I can be revealed unto Pharaoh his own heart. So a lot of things that we're experiencing, God is trying to reveal to us the blindness of our own heart. Amen? So he said, you're blind and you cannot see. You know what he's actually saying? You're so self-willed, you can't see God. That's what he said. You're so self-willed. It has to be my way or no way. You ever hear somebody say, you got to get my way or take the highway? Well, that's how a lot of us live our life with God. We're so self-willed. We're so determined to do it our way that we cannot see
God.
We can't even see God. Amen. When we make a decision, when we do something, we do it and we always leave God off. That's called blindness of heart. Hardness of heart. Amen. Hey, where's my tape? You got to hit it for me. Amen. It says that when you get so blind, amen, when you're so self-willed, when you're so determined to do you, is that the new saying that young people say now? Do you? Or what? Do me? Oh, do me. Okay, I know, do somebody. Do me means, you know, you don't care about nobody else. I got to do what's going to please me. Jesus said, I do always. He didn't say I do sometimes. He said, I do always the things that please my Father. Amen. Not just sometimes, but all the time. But when you don't do the right things, when you don't grow in the knowledge of God and apply His word, He said, you're blind and you cannot see far off. So when you see the sinner, you can't help them because you forgot that you were purged. When you see somebody else struggling, a brother or sister in need, you can't help them because you forgot that you were already purged. And because you forgot, because of the blindness of your heart, you can't help them because you already wallowing in the same thing that God has delivered you from. How can God deliver us? How can God set us free? And we forget. Lord, help me not to forget. Help me to always remember how good you've been to me. Lord, help me to remember where you brought me from. The next verse reads, wherefore, the brethren, give, it means give your very best effort. All of us know tonight. Amen. This is time to do a personal self-examination. Are you giving God your very best effort? This best or diligence means earnest. It means sincere. It means give God the purity of your heart and mind. Amen. Give God your best. Give everybody else second best, but when it comes to God, do it with diligence. Amen. God is not interested in us having a haphazard mind and spirit. Give God your best. Have you given your best to Jesus? Amen. Have you given your best to Jesus? Well, when you don't give him your best, it means he put somebody else before him, and that's most of the times ourselves. For if you do these things, making a call in any election, sure, you will never never fall. Amen. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3 quickly. We don't want our own self-will to blind our hearts. And it's a dual application. It means mind and heart. So Hebrews chapter 3, and let's read, I'm not going to read all of the scriptures because we do have quite a few other scriptures to go through. But let's start off with verse 7. Let's start with verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 3. And what we're dealing with is not being what? Self-will. Amen. Not being blind in our own hearts and our own minds. Amen. To be blind means you're doing something and you're acting in a way and you don't even realize it yourself. Amen. So verse 7, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you were here, and tonight, amen, if God is speaking to you, hear his voice. Do not, if you hear God's voice, if you know he's speaking to you, don't be self-willed. Don't be blinded by the hardness of your heart. Harden not your heart. As in the provocation, as in a day in the wilderness. So we don't want, that's good enough, we don't want to what? Harden our heart. When, if we hear his, if you know God is speaking, you know when you come to church, you be sitting there, God convicts your heart so much, he said, he was speaking to me. Then his altar call, he said, I don't want nobody to know. It's not important what we know. Amen. I'm not going to go up there because I don't want people to think the worst. Forget about people. Amen. Dear Lord, I come withholding nothing. Lord, all that I have is on the altar. Lord, I'm not holding anything back. I'm not trying to be ashamed and hide anything. Lord, all I have is on the altar. And Lord, send the fire. Consume anything in my life that's contrary to your will, anything that's contrary to your way. And the psalmist said it this way, one thing have I desired of the Lord. I don't have to desire anything from men or anybody else. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may around to see who else is going to come to the altar. Amen. When I leave, I want to be able to say, as well with my soul, I'm free. I thank God as well with my soul. But when your heart, amen, by your own self-will, you know, and the thing about self-will is when God is speaking, every last one of us know. You don't have to sugarcoat it out. You know when God is speaking to you. Amen. And then see, this is how the blindness and self-will happen. In church, you're like, oh, God bless me. You leave out the door and say, yeah, that was my brother, sister, so-and-so. Amen. That's blindness. That's your hard heart. In church, when God's Spirit was there, the Spirit of conviction, the Spirit of God will convict you when you are wrong. So when you're in church and the Spirit is high, God is cutting you to pieces. And you walk out the doors and forget. Because you're blind and cannot see. You can't see God because you were in the way. Get out of the way and let God do his part. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Amen. We're not going to do everything because I've already said enough. Y'all supposed to say amen. So we can finish. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. Then we're going to go to Numbers 22. We're dealing with the principle and then we're going to actually do the application when we're self-willed. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. I think it's verse 10. Let me see. Hold on. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's start with verse 9, because we like the God. How many of you are godly tonight? If you're not godly, claim it. How many are godly? Come on. Lord. If you weren't godly, we're not talking about how you came in. We're talking about what you are now. So forget about how you're walking the door. We say, what did God do for you lately? What did God do for you now? Is what we want to know. So I wasn't godly, but I'm on this side right now. God, you're speaking. Lord, you're knocking my door down so I can hear his voice. So it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. Hallelujah. I got some troubles. I got some trials. I got some tests, but God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, now you're going to get down to the problem. Amen. When God can't help you, when God is not able to reach you, but chiefly them that walk self-willed, don't want to yield, don't want to give it to God. Chiefly you. We don't have none of those, like, we're putting this on the tape for those we're sending it out to. Okay? So this doesn't apply to anybody tonight, but if you just happen to sneak your way, you can put it down, all right? But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise, refuse to respect the dominions, refuse to keep everything in its proper order. It has a big application, but we're not going to get to all that. Just do what you know to do is right. That's what it means. Don't be self-willed. Don't live according to your own flesh, lusts, and desires. Presumptuous are they, and what? Is on the screen. Presumptuous are they, and they are what? Chiefly them that walk after their own lust. They are what? Self-willed. Amen. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things. You know, the song said, we'll understand it better. Paul said, I speak in part now. He said, I know in part. He said, but then when I'm face to face, then I shall know even as I am known. So now we know in part. Amen. But as we grow in knowledge, we get the chance to understand it more, better, by and by. He said, and they shall utterly perish in their own. Who? The self-will. Amen. Those that put self before God. They're going to perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that tell and pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot anybody that's self-willed, they'll still keep on sinning. Amen. And they forget that they were purged from their own sins. Amen. And they just can't do God's will his way. Beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with just greed. What about me? Amen. Everything is about me. Cursed children which have forsaken. You know what's required of thee. The Bible says, no man thou knoweth what God doth require of you. But because they're self-willed, they have willingly forsaken the right way. Amen. We should all judge ourselves. We know. Amen. And you know, when it's time for us to answer for God, we can't answer for anyone else. But you can answer for yourself. Have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Didn't care about doing God's will. Unrighteousness. All right, that's good. Let's stop there. Now let's go to Numbers. Those are all the principles. Now let's deal with the actual application. Amen? Numbers 22. See, he loved the wages of what?
Unrighteousness.
Righteousness. Hey, Mr. Anthony, is my word still over there? Can I have it, please? Yes. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. Amen. It's so important. The only way that we do not get caught up in unrighteousness and doing everything contrary to God is we have to stop trying to please ourselves. You say, well, I've been doing this for a long time, but guess what? All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord, the Bible says, pondereth our heart away with our spirit. God understands why we do what we do. Tonight, the most important decision any of us can make is to do what's right in the eyes of God. All right, I'm not going to read all this, but most of us know the story of Balaam. I'm going to start with verse 21, but I'll just give you the history without reading all of it. Balaam, some people say he was a false prophet, but because God spoke to him and he heard from God, he couldn't have been too false. Amen? So what happened when Israel came out of Egypt, when they went in, I think, into the land of Moab, all of a sudden, Balak decided that, hey, these children of Israel are everywhere. Everything in their path, they're just eating it up, they're destroying it, they're consuming it. So what he said, no, I gotta find somebody that can come and curse these people. And every time I turn around, they're destroying another king and nation. He said, they're licking up all the dust around them like the cattle licking up grass. In other words, there's nothing that can withstand them. So what Balak did is he said, let's get Balaam to come curse Israel. Amen? So that was the desire. Let's get the man of God to come curse the people of God. Okay? Yeah. Amen. Get the man of God to curse God's people. So now we're picking up in verse 21. And if you want to know better, you can read to the beginning of the chapter. Amen. It says that Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Wait a minute, I didn't go far enough. Let me give you a little more. When they came to get Balaam, because I don't want to read all of that. But God told Balaam, he said, don't go with him. He said, no. He said, the people are blessed. They're my people. He said, so you cannot curse whom God has blessed. He said, they're blessed. So he said, don't go with him. Amen. So what he did the first time is he said, Balaam said this. He said, okay, I can't go. So what did Balak did? He sent some more honorable men. with even greater promises and rewards. So now this is Balaam praising God. Now God had already told him the first time what?
Don't go.
Don't go. All right. The answer is don't go. All right, so we can all do this together. God had already told Balaam the first time what?
Don't go.
Don't go. So he knew that God said, they are blessed. Amen. You cannot curse them. Don't even waste your time going with the men because they're blessed. But we read Balaam was more driven with what? The rewards, the wages of unrighteousness, and he was self-willed. So he was what? Spiritually blinded. These are my people. I'm God. You're praying to me, and I can't curse them. But Balaam was blind. And he tried to do it anyway. So when they came the second time, God said, now listen, obviously, it's in your heart to go with them anyway. So he said, I'm going to let you go. He said, but only speak what I tell you to speak. But then this is where we come up to now. Now they said, if they come to get you, go with them. But the scripture says Balaam rose up in the morning and sell his calves. He didn't say they came together. Right? Self-willed. He was determined that he's going to go get that money for unrighteousness. Whatever, I can get that money. No. Do it right. So Balaam said, he rose, sell his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was? How did God get mad at him? He told him to go. No, God did not tell him to go. God got mad because he was determined to do what God said, don't do. Why? Because he was self-willed. Balaam was increasing and he had diminished God. He was blind and could not see
afar off.
So he couldn't see God. So Balaam, because he, in his own spiritual blindness, could not see God. He's now being driven by his own will and passion. Amen. So God's anger was kindled because he, somebody said, well, God told him to go. No, God did not tell him to go. God had already said, don't go. You know, just think of, get the scenario. They're blessed. They're my people. You can't bless. You can't curse them. So don't go. Well, you know, it's like, when you come ask me the second time, it didn't change. Amen. Because you decided you want to get these wages of unrighteousness, God said, I didn't change. So his anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass. And his two servants were with him. So it was not just Balaam, but he had his two servants with him. But let's see how when you're self-willed, it can completely blind you spiritually. Amen? Amen. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Wait a minute. They were so determined to do what they wanted to do that the ass was able to see God standing in the way to slay him. But they were so self-willed, they were what? Blind. When we determined to do what we want to do, sometimes we're so blind, we can't see that the Lord is standing there to resist us, to try and get us to go in the right direction. Amen? But he was self-willed. He was determined. At any rate, he was going to get to do his own expression of his own will. And he went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her so he could be destroyed. Amen? He couldn't see the angel was standing there to destroy him, but the dumb beast could. So he got mad because he was self-willed. This is the actual application of being self-willed. So the ass turns out of danger, and he was so mad, he said, get me back in danger. That's what we do in our lives. God directs us one way. But we are so determined to do it our way, we turn back into danger. I heard the late Bishop Golder preach this. He said, learn to read the signs. He said, he gave a story. He said years ago he was driving on a revival, and you know, he's a preacher, so the preachers really don't have to pay attention to all those signs. You know what I'm saying? The signs are for the saints. But the preacher can do what they want to do. So he said, I'm a preacher. So he was driving down the road, and there was a sign that said, go no further, road flood. Bridge gone. I'm a preacher. He said he went around the curve, he said, and God helped him to stop just in time before he went over into all that water. He said, I learned from that. Learn to read the signs. Tonight, learn to read the signs. When it's danger, don't continue. When it says stop, don't keep going. Stop. Amen? Go to the next verse. It says, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. In other words, he was hemmed in. He had nowhere to go. But once again, he's blinded by his own self-will. So he's determined to get to the place where the wages of what? Unrighteousness. To do what? Fulfill his own will and desire. It says, and when the ass saw, isn't it Balaam and his two servants? They can't see the danger. They can't see all this trouble before them. Amen? But they were what? Self-will, driven by their own passion and not by God. She thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her. Second time, he just beat the beast for trying to save his life. Because he was so blind, he could not see afar off. He couldn't see the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And he's hemmed in again. God, this is a pretty good animal that's trying to direct him. He don't want to listen. Amen? And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. But once again, each man what? Self-will, driven by his own passion and desire. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the angel opened the mouth, the Lord opened the mouth. This guy's in bad shape. He's in bad shape. It's pretty bad. You're pretty blind. You're pretty self-willed. When your ass starts speaking to you, when the donkey starts speaking to you, that sounds bad. Smash that, gotta edit that one off. When the donkey starts speaking to you, and you don't even realize that you've been, that didn't sound good. That wasn't profanity, please. I'm just saying what the scripture says. He said, and she said unto Balaam, this is his own animal. What have I done to thee that thou hast smitten me these
three times?
Next scripture. And Balaam said unto the donkey, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I would kill you. He's so determined. Amen. Do his own thing. And the donkey said unto Balaam, what am I doing? I'm doing better. The other stuff don't sound so hot. No, No. And the donkey said unto Balaam, am I not thy donkey upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? Now, how you come? He's conversing with the donkey. Huh? Self-willed. That's pretty bad, right? You talk to the donkey talking back. You gotta want something wrong with somebody, right? There's some serious issues here. Something serious is going on. I'm talking to the donkey. It's all right if I talk to him, but there he's talking back. That's too much you. Amen. That's too much you. So the donkey's talking back. He says, and he said, nay. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, He's gone through all of this to the point of being destroyed. And his donkey's talking back to him. He doesn't even realize how far he's out. Why? Because he's blinded by his own self-will. Anytime your animal, how many got dogs and cats? Got friends that got dogs and cats, if you don't. If you're sitting down having a conversation, you know, just imagine you sitting in the house and somebody come in and you like they got it on TV and you talk to the dog and the dog talk back to you. Right? Everybody look at you like, they're gonna start scratching your head, something wrong. Right? I don't mind you talking to the dog, but the dog is talking back. Right? You know, it's like, wow, something wrong with this picture. Amen? Well, when you're so self-willed, you don't know what's going on. You know, you're so blinded by your own self-deceit. And the angel, and the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing. It took all of that. He had to go through all of that for him to see that he was heading for danger. Amen. Why? He was what? Self-willed. He was what? Blinded by his own self-will spirit. Your self-will will blind you. You will be fighting against God and don't even realize it. Amen. That was the problem with the apostles and dealing with the Hebrew brethren that weren't saved. And Gamaliel said, listen, leave them alone. Lest happily you be found to fight even against God. When you're so blinded by your own self-will, your own tradition, your own ways, you'll be fighting against God. And his sword dwelled in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Took all of that for him to reverence God. Had to go through all of that. God had to perform an unusual miracle. You know, now, if any of y'all go home, y'all lay down and y'all animals start talking to y'all if y'all are wrong, get it right. That just saying, that's just not good. You lay down and say, whoop. What? You talking to me? So, you know, I'm going to get on my knees. God's trying to tell me something. Amen? Amen. So just listen. All right? And the angel of the Lord said, wherefore hast thou spent thine donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way was it wasn't right. You were doing what you wanted to do, but it wasn't right, God said, for me. That's the only thing that counts. Is it right? Before God. God said, it wasn't right before me. So I was out to destroy you. I was out to slay you. Amen. The next verse said, and the donkey saw me and turned from me. You were so self-willed, driven by your own passion, you couldn't even see that I was standing in the way to destroy you. When you made the decision to go there, God said, I was there to destroy you. Amen. But something happened and I didn't do it. But the donkey saw me, though you couldn't. That should cause some kind of something to rise up in him. He said, and unless she had turned from me, surely now you would have been dead. He said, I would have slain you if it wasn't for the eyes that were guiding that you couldn't see. And sometimes, saints, we need to listen to the voice of God. We need to listen to some good spiritual counsel. Because spiritual counsel will direct you away from danger. When the spiritual counsel is directing you, then you get self-will and say, I'm whatever, I can do this, I can do that, I can make all, you can make your own decisions. But why not do it God's way? God told babies that your ways were perverse before me. Whatever we do tonight, do what's right before God. It doesn't do any good to do it while the saints are watching. Because God is always watching, because the Bible says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So God watches us all the time. Say, well, when I get out of church or when I get away from the saints, I'll do this. God is still watching. Amen? So this was right in the eyes of God. He said that Balaam said unto the Lord, unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. So now he acknowledged I've been wrong. But he was still driven by his passion, as we will find out. He said, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, what else would he have had to do? I mean, he should have gotten the message. Now God didn't want him to what? He didn't want him to know. Can you imagine the cops and the nerve he had to say, therefore now, if it displease thee, I will get me back again? He already said that I would have killed you 3 times. Amen? Are we missing something? He said, I would have killed you 3 times because I told you not to go. So he says, I said, I'll go back if you want me to. I mean, are we that blind? Are we that self-governed? That God already said, I would have slain you if your animal hadn't turned me aside. He said, Lord, I said, now, if you don't really want me to go, I'll go back. What more? What else did he need? What more? But self-will. He was still determined to get the wages of unrighteousness. He was still determined to do what he wanted to do. He said, and the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, okay, I still can reach you again. With all of that you went through, you know 3 times you should have been dead. You think about over your life, some of those mistakes you made. You know, we all know that. I was in the wrong place. I don't deserve to be here today. But God was still good. God got you out of that, and you turn around and put yourself in another mess. God said, well, I got you out of that one too. Then we presumed on God's mercy and got in the mess the 3rd time like Balaam did. Amen. And God said, okay, got you out of another mess. He said, oh God, I've been in so many messes. Well, God, I haven't been going to church and doing what I want to do. But if it displeased you, God said, wait a minute, you've been messing up. Everything in your life is falling apart. You have no direction. What do you mean if? The handwriting is on the wall. Even Belshazzar, when he saw the handwriting on the wall, he was drunk. Couldn't even stand up. Well, when he saw that handwriting, he cleared up in a hurry. He got so in a hurry. Amen. Once the stuff get on the wall, you're supposed to straighten up. Amen. All that drunk, all that alcohol, you know, something wrong. Amen. Well, in our lives, it's time to get it right today. It's time to strike fighting against God. He said, ain't the Lord said to be a goer for men anyway, because you're determined to do what you want to do. You know what's right, but you're determined to do me or you or whatever. You're determined to fulfill your own desires. He said, once again, but only the words that I shall speak unto thee, that shall I speak. So Balaam, how in the world are you still going when God has stood in the way to destroy you? Amen, because he was determined to do his own thing. He was blind by his own self-will. Amen, when we get determined to do us, nothing can stop us. If you read, if you go all the way up to the believers in chapter 31, it tells how, because Balaam, and this is how sin works. Sin deceives, as we read earlier. Balaam could not curse Israel. So what he did, he is, you know, like all, we're saying, we're not just going to go out. Most of us that have a right mind, we're not going to go out and drink and smoke and do the wrong thing. Right? So Balaam could not get God to curse Israel. But what God, Balaam did is he trained Israel to sin, so that God cursed the sin in Israel. So because we won't willingly sin, we do the wrong things that bring about a curse on us anyway. God is trying to help us. So what Balaam did is he taught the children of Israel how to sin. So he could not curse them, but he taught them how to curse themselves. Amen. Let's turn to, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 2. We'll close on this and we're here to show you. When we're self-willed and we're determined to get the wages of our righteousness, nothing will stop us. And eventually, Balaam was destroyed by the very people that he tried to curse. When you go against God, eventually something's coming down. Amen. All right, let's go to verse 12. Let's start verse 12 of Revelation chapter 2. Amen. It says, and unto the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things says he that has a what? The sword is always meant for judgment. It's cutting. It's dividing. It's what? Separating. Amen. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any twin piercing, even to divide the son of soul and spirit, and joining the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it says, the two-edged sword, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan sitteth, and thou holdest fast my name, and as not. Listen, he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to who?
Saints.
Even in those days when Antipas was by faithful, they were slain for who? The Lord's name. Who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there been that hold. This doctrine of Balaam has never died. Amen. You know, it actually surfaces in the body of believers today. This doctrine of Balaam. Amen. Anybody? Nobody here Catholic, right? If anybody Catholic, raise your hand so I won't say this. All right, so, okay. It actually surfaces in the Catholic Church. This doctrine of Balaam has never died. It's gone through the occult. It's gone through one religion. It's never died. Revelation is for a revelation of the what? Last days. So this doctrine has never died. What is the doctrine? It's still getting people to sin. To go against God. Where? And then in church? This is unto the angel or the messenger of the church of Pergamos. He's not writing to the world, to the sinners. He's writing to who? Well, C-H-R-C-H spells what?
Church.
Church. All right. He's writing to the church. He says, because our hands there, them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balaam to do what? Cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Well, how do they do it? To eat things, sacrifice unto idols. The spirit has never died. From Israel to today, it's still here. Amen. Romans chapter 2, this is the last one. Let's see. Oh, that's good enough. Wow, I thought it was like 8:24. That's good enough. It's almost 9 o'clock. The visitors won't come back. They said, that guy's too long with it. Amen. Yeah, Sister Paula and the two sisters came. This is Antoinette. Man, we ain't going to that church no more. I'll be sitting up there all night. Lewis, I see you smiling. You thinking that too? Lewis, how might have been you smiling? That's good enough. That's good. We don't want to keep you all night, but when we're self-willed, not even an animal speaking can stop us. You ever see something, people, you say, man, what could we say or do to get them to change? I've done everything and they haven't changed. Until God breaks our will. Until we put God first. Amen. Until we learn to deny ourselves. Until we learn to stop conforming to this world but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When our minds are renewed, then we can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of who? God. When our minds are transformed, then our thinking is about, I do always the things that please my Father. But when we're self-willed, No one and nothing can stop us from our eternal goal. Tonight, it's a personal decision that we all have to make. It's not about pleasing me. I don't have the help to help put you in, and neither does anyone else. And some people say, well, I do it because of my family, my love, as a minister who's come forward. They say, well, I do it because of them. No, if you don't do it because of God, it won't last. The only thing that counts tonight is doing the things that are pleasing to God. Now, you have to search your own heart, and you have to make that decision. Am I living a life that's governed by God, or by self-will, and doing my own thing?